God's way is old-fashioned. Some people don't like that, but as one preacher said, I do. Breathing is old-fashioned, and I like doing it. The Bible said we need to go back to the old way. It said, search the ways. Look at them. Check them out. And then if you want comfort and peace in your heart, you go back to the old way and you'll find it. And I believe the old way is what we need, just the plain preaching and teaching and practicing of God's Word. I believe that's what our problem is, folks. All the problems we've got, I believe the answer for them is here in this book. I am a preacher that believes that this book and the book that I'm holding tonight is a Authorized King James Version, and I believe this is God's Word, the absolute Word of God. I believe it, folks. I believe when you read in this book, it's just the same as God talking to you. We say that God's Word's inspired, and the word inspired means God breathed. And you know how you talk? You breathe through your vocal cords and you form words. God breathes and formed this word that you and I have. This is a living, written word. I believe every word of it, a lot of it I don't understand. The longer I study the Bible, seemingly some of it becomes more complicated to me. You know, when I first started preaching, everything seemed so simple. The more I studied Brother Eugene Clark has a sermon, What I Learned Going to Church. And most of what I learned, I got it going to church, folks. And the more I learned from God, the more awesome God became. The more unable I became to understand God. I could just only understand that He loved me as a lost sinner. And He loved me enough to send His Son to die on Calvary's cross to take my place. And as Paul said, when Jesus Christ was dying on that cross, I was crucified with Him. When God looked down at Calvary and saw His Son, He saw Garner Smith's, also all of his sins there. And saw those sins being paid for in full, which I could never do. Even on in eternity, I could have never paid for them. That's why people spend eternity in hell and never pay for them, because they just can't be paid for. But God loved me and sent His Son to pay for my sin. I can never remember from the time I was old enough to understand anything that was being said, or I was old enough to read, that I didn't believe John 3:16. I've always believed it. I was raised and taught. My family, and at that time, everybody I knew went to church. And even people that didn't claim to be a Christian said they believed the Bible was the Word of God. And most of them live by it better than a whole lot of Christians do today, so-called Christians. But I believed. My mom and daddy said it was so, and I believed it was so. Never had any doubt about John 3:16. But in June of 1954, I saw John 3:16 as I'd never seen it before. And I want to tell you something. Until you see it that way, you'll never know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That Sunday morning, I saw John 3:16 that God so loved Garner Smith that He gave His only begotten Son. That if I'd believe in Him, if Garner Smith had believed in Him, I'd never perish but have eternal life. Not the world, but me. He died personally. A lot of things I don't understand, but I do believe this tonight. And I'm one of God's chosen. If I'd been the only one, Jesus Christ would have still died for me. God's plan and purpose. And that doesn't have anything to do with my message tonight. It's just simply illustrating what I believe about the Word of God tonight. I just believe it, folks. I just really believe it. There's a lot of people I have great confidence in, and that if they would tell me something, I'd believe it without hesitation. A lot of people. But whomever they may be tonight, if they were to tell me that some part of this book is not so, I wouldn't believe them. I believe what this book says. That's how strong I believe in the Word of God. And for that reason tonight, that's what I preach. I don't have anything else to preach but the Word of God. I'm just a simple country boy. Not too long ago, we had some people started coming to our church, and neither of the couple are saved, but the boy raised a Catholic. And that's all he knows. He don't know too much about that, but he's raised a Catholic, and he married a girl whose dad and mom are members of a Baptist church like this one, and they moved to Clarksville, and they told him, said, you go over to Faith Baptist Church because you'll hear the truth there. So they came. And they come regular. Both of them are lost, but they come regular. And to the surprise of a lot of us, one Sunday morning, they have a little bitty, I believe it's a boy, if I remember correctly, a little bitty boy, baby boy. And one Sunday morning, the wife wasn't able to come, and that Catholic boy brought that little baby boy to a Baptist church. I thought, man, something's happening here, you know. After it's over with, I talked to him a few minutes and told him we appreciate him coming, want to come back, and ask him about his father-in-law. He said, I told my father-in-law the other Sunday, we went down there instead of coming to church, said, I told him, you don't have any trouble understanding what Brother Smith says. He's very plain, very simple. Not only do I have to be that way, I can't be any other way, but I want to be that way too. I want people to understand what I'm saying. The Word of God determines where each and every one of us will spend eternity. It's totally, completely determined by the Word of God. Nobody that does not believe the Word of God will ever go to heaven, folks. Never will. You've got to believe this book to go to heaven. There's no other way there. The power of transformation from a sinner to a saint is in the Word of God. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 10 tonight. Just a very simple message. If God will help us, and you pray that He will, we want to speak to you tonight on the ignorance of the wicked. You know, the Bible has a great deal to say about wise men. Over in Romans chapter 1, it tells us how foolish wise men are. I'm talking about those that are wise in their own wisdom. Not in God's wisdom, but in their own wisdom. They are so wise that they begin to worship the creature more than the Creator. But in truth, in reality, the most ignorant person on the face of the earth is a person that does not believe in God. The psalmist said in Psalm 14:1 that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now God said that through the psalmist David. God said a person who doesn't believe in God is a fool. I could give you a good illustration of that. But when you consider somebody that was in a burning house, or that was drowning, somebody that was drowning, and you stuck their hand out and said, all you've got to do is just trust me, just trust in me, and I'll save you from drowning, or I'll save you from burning house. And they said, no, I don't believe in you. They were speaking to you. They were calling to you. You say, no, I don't believe in you. And you go ahead and are destroyed when you consider that person foolish. Well, that's just how foolish a lost sinner is that hears the Word of God. I'm talking about a general call. They hear the Word of God. Many hear it time after time, over and over and over again. They hear it in Sunday school. They hear it in the pulpit. Many hear it in their own homes. They hear it on the radio. They hear it on the TV, telling you that the only hope for lost sinners is repenting of their sins and trusting in Jesus Christ. Over and over you hear it. You say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. The ignorance of the wicked, how foolish wicked man is. Notice in Psalm 10, why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, and deceit and fraud under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. Can't read that and not think about these abortion clinics. Let me read that again. He sitteth in lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder innocent. And that's exactly what abortion clinics do, and that's not my subject, but I just thought I'd tell you what God said about it. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. My text is taken from verse 11, 12, and 13. The ignorance of the wicked. By wicked, I mean unbelievers. The Bible says all unbelievers are wicked. And I'm not just talking about those that do not profess Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about those that may even profess Him, but they've never really believed Him or believed in Him. They're still wicked people. You may profess to have trusted Christ. You may profess by becoming a member of a church, or ever how you may publicly profess that you are trusting in Jesus Christ. Unless you believe Him, not just believe in Him, but believe Him. Believe what He said. Believe the record that God gave of His Son. And then trust in Him, in His power, as Lord and Savior. You're a wicked person. Somebody said, well, I know people and they're not church people, but they're not so wicked. The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. You know, just to breathe God's air, drink His water, and enjoy His sunshine, and not believe in Him and adore Him for it is wickedness, is sin. Wicked mankind does not have God in all of his thoughts, our scripture says. And of course, many places in the Bible, it says that there's no fear of God before their faces. They don't think about God. They don't consider God at all in all of their concerns. They only think about their own selfish desires and plans. In this passage that we read here, in these first 13 verses of Psalm 10, I believe we can see in this scripture, and I hope God will cause us to consider it, some ways that prove that wicked men, by men I mean mankind, are ignorant. They're foolish. First of all, notice in verse 11, it says that they have deceived themselves into believing that God has forgotten all their past sins. Notice, he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. You know, you might ask a lost person, do you believe God has forgotten your sin? They say, oh no, I don't believe that. But I'll tell you one, deep down in their mind and heart, they don't think God's thinking about them. When you come to the place that you believe that God knows your sin and God is considering your sin, You'll fall down before him and cry out as a publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can't stand before a holy and righteous God and believe in him and believe that he knows about your sin and not bow before him in fear and trembling. But lost mankind think that God is like mayonnaise. And Psalm 50 verse 21 said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I'll reprove thee. God don't forget. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only thing God will not remember are the sins that Jesus Christ paid for. In Hebrews 8 and 12, he said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, how God can put them out of his mind, being all powerful and omniscient and omnipresent, how he can do that, I don't know. But the Bible says God can do anything but lie. He can put them out of there. I can't do it. Somebody can offend me and hurt me, and I can honestly and truthfully forgive them. Never hold it against them anymore. But every once in a while, it'll pop back up in my mind. But somehow, God is so great and so forgiving that he can put our sins aside where he'll never remember them anymore. But that's the only thing. And I'm talking about those whose sins have been forgiven through trusting in Jesus Christ as their penalty for their sin. But that's the only thing he forgets. Everything else, he always remembers. He'll never forget your sins. Jeremiah 14:10 says, he'll remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Hosea 8:13 says, now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Proverbs 11:21 says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. You know, when old Pilate was examining Jesus Christ and he couldn't find any fault in him, and they wanted him to give the death sentence because the Jews couldn't give it, only the Romans could give it. And old Pilate's trying to get out from between a rock and a hard place, and he all at once remembered, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll send him to old King Herod. And prior to that, he said that Herod and Pilate were enemies. But he sent him over to King Herod for Herod to examine. And the Bible goes on to say, that day they became friends. Folks, I want to tell you, the enemies today, the Arabs and the Russians and all the rest of them that hate one another and despise one another, I want to tell you, one of these days, they're going to join together and become friends in a battle against the Lord Jesus Christ and his saints. Excuse me. They can all join together, put up a big fight, but they'll never keep God from punishing their sins. He's not going to forget them. Let me just give you some examples of God not forgetting. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, Samuel told Saul, said, the sins of Amalek have come up before him. Years before King Saul became king, Moses and the children of Israel were traveling to the promised land. And they came up to the Amalekites. And the Amalekites made war against them. They wouldn't let God's people come through peacefully. And God didn't forget their sin. You can read over in Exodus chapter 17. Excuse me. Verse 8, verse 16 about it. But here in 1 Samuel 15, Samuel said, Saul, God has remembered the sins of Amalek, and he wants you to go down, and he wants you to destroy everything down there. I don't understand this. I just know it's God's plan and purpose. He said, destroy all their possessions, the cattle and the sheep. Destroy the armies. Destroy all the men, all the women, all the children. Destroy them all because of their sins. For Saul didn't do what God said. But the point I want to make is that God remembered Amalek's sin. He didn't forget him. In a few minutes I'll show he didn't forget Saul's sin either. Hosea chapter 8 verse 13. Excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 24. God said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Others, they fall after. God said, some people's sins have gone on before them. Before they ever go to heaven, before they ever meet God, their sins have already gone before them. What in the world does that mean? Well, I'll tell you why, what it means tonight. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, God was judging the sins of his people in Jesus Christ. My sins and your sins, if you're a child of God, went on before him. Our sins went on before you and I did. They've already been judged in Jesus Christ. But for every unbeliever, your sins are going to follow you to the judgment. Yeah. Be that right with you. Amen. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a child of God, but I'll not answer for my sins. I'll answer as to my faithfulness in serving God as a child of God. Well, lost friend, I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you've never repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to stand before God and you're going to answer for every jot and every tittle, every thought that you had against God. You're going to answer for it. They're going to follow you there. God's not going to forget them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 said, man shall give an account of every idle word spoken. Deuteronomy 31, 28 says, God will call heaven and earth to witness against you. And old Job said over in Job 16, 19, he said, my record is on high, and now behold, my witness is in heaven. But lost sinner, your witness is here on the earth. God's got your record, but your witness is here on earth. And it'll be against you when you stand there at that great white throne judgment. Amen. The thought that God will forget or pass over our sins, I shouldn't say our sin because mine's forgiven, but pass over your sins as a lost sinner, causes wicked men to feel somewhat comfortable in this present world. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, 12, and chapter 8, verses 11, 12, and 13, it says, because when a man does something wrong, he breaks the law, whatever he does wrong, and he's not speedily prosecuted and punished for it, he's prone to continue in his evil way. But he goes on to say, even though a man do wrong and seemingly get by with it for a long time, sooner or later, it'll catch up with him. And God will hold it against him because God don't forget. Right. One of the problems of our society today is that sin is not prosecuted. By that I mean when the law is broken, it goes on and on and on before anyone is ever punished for their breaking the law. And they finally get to the place that they think they're going to get by with, and sometimes they do. But I want to tell you, you sin against God, and you may go a long time, seemingly you've escaped, but you never have. You'll have to face it. Amen. God doesn't forget. Now, I said, the only thing he refuses to remember is the sins of his people for whom Christ died. Secondly, in verse 11, the ignorance of the wicked are shown in the fact that they think he'll not see their present sins. Notice what it says there in verse 11. He hideth his face. He will never see it. They somehow or another believe that somehow or another God is not going to notice them. But you know the Bible says that God even knows our thoughts before we think them. Did you know that? Even before we think them, God knows what our thoughts are. Over in Psalm 139, let's turn there. I want to read a few verses. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. But there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You know, I believe it's the first cosmonauts of Russia when they went up in space and they laughed and said they didn't see God. God saw them. Even if they're in the heavens, God knows they're there. God knows all about their atheistic denials too. Said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, thinking that God can't see them. But I want to tell you that darkness is light to God. Right. Yes, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God sees us, sees what we're doing, knows what we're doing. Nothing escapes him. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Psalm 66:7 says, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations, not like the rebellious exalt themselves. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Wherever you are, he's there. Whatever you do, he sees it. Nothing escapes God. You know, we mentioned about Saul a few minutes ago in 1 Samuel 15. But in chapter 13, tells us about Nathan telling Saul what God wanted him to do and going to destroy the Amalekites. But he said, you wait till I get there as a priest and I'll offer a sacrifice. Well, old Saul, he is presumptuous like a whole lot of us are. And he thought somehow or another that God wasn't paying attention to it. You know, it seemed like a small matter to him. And presumptuously, he went on and went into the place of the high priest and offered the sacrifice for himself. No, Samuel wasn't there. And even Samuel knew it. And he wasn't there. But God told his servant Samuel what had happened. And Samuel appeared on the scene and accused Saul. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 17:12, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God unto the judge, even that man shall die. And it said, Saul presumptuously just presumed on God that God would accept that sacrifice. What does presumptuous mean? It means to willfully sin with a proud, haughty spirit. Simply put, that no one is going to tell me what to do. Not even God. We'll not have this man to rule over us. I've had church members to tell me That church is not going to tell me what to do. We don't even try. All we do is tell them what God said for them to do. We're not the ones to punish them. Now, we practice church discipline to make it known that our church don't tolerate sin in the church. But we don't punish them. We don't have that right authority. God takes care of that. And when we presume on God, when we think we have the right and authority to go beyond or fall short of God's word and do as we please, we're presuming upon God, and that's sin, and it doesn't escape God. He don't overlook it. In 1 Samuel 15:10, said, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel." Old Saul thought God not notice these little indiscretions, but he is telling his prophet about it all along over here, old Samuel. You know, it still amuses me sometimes how people think that they're doing things and getting away with it, and nobody knows anything about it, and I know it all the time. I get amused at that sometimes. You know, there are those Christians that have grown and are mature enough in the Lord that when they do wrong, they immediately confess it and make it right because they know their sins are going to find them out. But there are those that presumptuously think they can go on and get by with it. There's an old saying, and it's true tonight, willful sin always brings a woeful end. Willful sin, presumptuous sin, will always bring a woeful end. You know what happened to Saul and his sons, don't you? They were killed by the Amalekites. Let me give you something to think about. Most of you know about Mr. Arafat over in the leader of the PLO, don't you? And you know he's an Amalekite? And all he thinks about is the flesh. That's what Amalekites are, that type of the flesh. All they think about is themselves, and right now, give me this right now. I want what I want. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's what the Amalekites were. And I just read not too long ago where old Arafat is one of them. I said, well, he sure fits the bill, that's for certain. Now get off of that, that's politics. But Saul's attitude of selfish pride caused him to lose the kingdom. And many of God's people, I'm not about to say people, lose out on the blessings, the wonderful, great blessings of a faithful servant of God because they presume on God. They can do something to get by with it. And I don't talk about preachers too much. And if you're a Jack Hiles fan, I feel sorry for you. That's all I can say. But you know, he got caught. And all of us sin, folks. I'm not in no way trying to get you to think that we preachers don't sin. Somebody said, if I believe what y'all Baptists did, I'd sin all I want to. I sin more than I want to. I don't want to sin at all down my heart. But in spite of that, the old flesh gets the best of me sometime, and I sin. But you know what Jack Hiles said when they finally caught up with him? He said, I have done so much for God. I've worked so long in His service that God will overlook some indiscretions that I commit. God don't overlook Garner Smith. He don't overlook Jack Hiles. He don't overlook anybody. Third thing that shows the ignorance of the wicked, they do not believe that there will be a final presentation and judgment of their sins. They really don't believe God is going to require punishment of their sin. Notice in verse 13 of our text, Psalm 10, what it says. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. It shows contempt for God to say that God is not going to require payment for your sin. God's just. Now, he may be merciful, and he is merciful, and gives far more than we deserve. I mean, he gave us more than we deserve when he accepted Christ's payment for our sin to where we wouldn't go to hell. But on top of that, then all through our Christian life, he gives us handfuls on purpose. Oh, how God blesses us. Back up. The summer, I have four grandchildren. All of them had professed Jesus Christ as their Savior and were members of a Baptist church, except I had one little granddaughter that was 10 years old. And she seemed to be completely absent-minded of anything religious or spiritual. I mean, to me and to the rest of the family, it seemed like she wasn't interested whatsoever in anything about the Lord and the church. They made her go to church. She didn't have no choice. She went to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all of them, every time they had a service, she was there. She didn't have no choice about it. And you know, they called us, she did. Just 10 years old. Called my wife, and I don't remember what it was, and said, "Mama, I just want to tell you that the Lord saved me." The greatest thing that ever happened to me was when God saved my wretched soul. And then he gave me not only a Christian, but a Baptist wife. Because he knew I didn't then, but he knew he was going to call me to preach. And I want to tell you, to be a faithful preacher, you got to have a faithful wife. But then he gave me two daughters. And my heart's desire was to see them saved. He saved both of them. Put them in Baptist churches. They're faithful in churches. And I thought, man, that's an awful lot for God to give me. Save me and my wife and save my two daughters. And then my oldest daughter, they had two children. The younger daughter couldn't have any children, so they adopted. Well, I'm from the South, and they tried their best to adopt a southern white little boy or girl, and they couldn't find one. I mean, they tried hard. They got on waiting lists, and they couldn't find one. And finally, they were told about an organization that adopted out little Korean babies. You could get them actually signed up for it all before they were born. And they come talk to me about it, and my daughter and son-in-law and my wife, and ask us what we thought about it. And I said, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't hate anybody, and I don't. I've never hated anybody, regardless of their color or whatever. I've never hated anybody. Or when I was a kid, you could have done something to me, and I thought I hated you. But I said, I grew up in the South. I recognize that I'm prejudiced against other races. Not that I hate them or dislike them, but I just have a inborn prejudice. I just want to be honest with you. And if you get a child of another race, I don't know whether I can ever accept them as my grandchild or not. I'm going to be honest. I promise you, I'll never do anything against them. I'll never hurt them. And anyway, I promise you that. You'll never have to worry about that. I'll never do anything to embarrass them, anything of that nature. But I don't know whether I accept them or not. But the first moment I saw that little Korean baby, 2 months old, and that black hair is sticking up like a broom, I fell in love with him. Been in love with ever since. And then a few years later, they got a little black boy from Thailand, 6 years old, out of orphan's home. You don't know who his mother was. They just found him left on the street. And he came to the United States, and the people adopted him, and was going to adopt him, and they found out he was losing his hearing, and they didn't want him after that. A doctor and his family. So they contacted my daughter and asked if they'd be interested in him. And they said, "Yeah, we'll take him." And I forgot where they flew to get him now, but her and her husband, they went and got him. And we met him at the airport in Nashville. And I looked at him, and he's a pretty good-sized boy. Wasn't like taking a little baby from the cradle. And I looked at him. I never said anything. But I wrestled with it. And I asked God, if he'd help me to love him just like I did the rest of them, and he did. Amen. And then God saved them all. Amen. That's more than I could ever have asked for. But God requires of us that we be faithful. We'll never lose our salvation. But the Bible warns us to be careful lest we lose some reward that we could have earned by being faithful. God requires not only lost sinners to repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, but God requires you and I as His people to be faithful to Him. Amen. And He will not overlook our sins. He will require it. One day you and I as God's children will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be as to whether or not we're going to heaven or hell. That's already been taken care of in Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. There's nothing in this world can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. But I'll be honest with you. I've been saved a long time. Been preaching for 44 years. And I still tremble at the thought of standing at the judgment seat of Christ. I know that God is going to require faithfulness from me. But listen to me, lost friend, if you're here tonight, God is going to require your sins of you. God demands in Acts 17:30 that all men everywhere repent. That's the command of God. And I know until the Spirit of God quickens you and gives you spiritual life and spiritual ability, you'll never be able to repent and you'll never be able to trust Jesus Christ. But that doesn't leave you with excuse. Right. Romans chapter 1 tells us that. And even the things that you and I see in this world that God created from nothing demands that we bow before Him as our Creator. And we refuse to do it without expense. Without excuse. God will accept nothing but perfection. If you ever stand in the gates of heaven and endure the presence of God, it'll be because you're perfect in His sight. And you as a lost sinner can never do that. Preacher, how can I'll be perfect? Colossians 1:27 said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the only hope. Lost friend, God is not going to forget your sin. God is not going to overlook your sin. And God is certainly going to require your sins of you at the judgment. There will be a judgment. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Just as sure as you die, you're going to be judged. Romans tells us every man, woman, boy, and girl shall give an account of themselves before God. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's how you can be perfect. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called unto us his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The only way we can, mankind can ever stand in the presence of God and endure His presence without having His wrath poured out upon you is to be perfected in Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do that is by falling down before him, as old publican did. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That just simply means you recognize you're a sinner. Now, you may not have committed as many of the same sins that I have, but you're still a sinner. You're born that way. When you got old enough to do what you wanted to do, that's the way you did. You chose to sin. And God says you're going to give an account of it. You'll either do it now in Jesus Christ, or you'll do it standing before him at the great white throne judgment. Let me just say to you tonight, you couldn't help being a fool up to now because you didn't know any better. If you haven't believed in God, he said if you haven't, then you're a fool. You couldn't help that because you were ignorant of the truth. But if God has been pleased to speak to your heart by his Holy Spirit tonight and show you that he's real and that you're a lost sinner, then you're not ignorant anymore. And you're responsible. I watched TV the other night. Program about homosexuals that had been saved. How God had saved them. This one old boy was 44 years old. Practicing homosexual. And he said, I'd tried everything in the world. Nothing ever brought me peace and happiness. Nothing ever satisfied me. I just going farther and farther. Finally got involved in sex perversion, drugs and the whole thing. He said, I was about ready to take my life because wasn't nothing left out there for me. Said, finally I got up and walked back to the restroom. He was at a party. Said, I got back to the restroom. Said, just out of anxiety, I looked up and said, God, if you're real, do something for me. And he said he did. He showed me that I was a sinner and I was responsible to God. And the reason I was a sinner was because I wanted to be a sinner. Nobody made me be. I wanted to be. And he said, God help me. And God helped him. See, God brought him out of ignorance into the truth. The only hope for you as an unbeliever tonight is Jesus Christ.